service for others. That's what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples to do. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, service to others. Are you with me? Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said to them, "Take nothing for the journey, neither staff nor bag nor bread nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece." Richie, I don't know how many staffs or things you took on your journey, huh? Not too many. So he went on his journey for the Lord. The Lord sent him just as surely as the Lord sent those 12 disciples out many, many years ago. And look what happened in verse 6. So they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel. And so they responded to what God had told them to do. They were going in service to show the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus being spread all over. And again, that's what Richie has done. Gone out at God's call and shared his love with others. But now notice verse 10. It says, "And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done." So when they came back, they were excited, man. They wanted to tell their story and stuff. But I want you to notice something that happened along the way. I want you to see something interesting that happened along the way. Turn back with me to verse 1 again. It says, "Then he called his 12 what? Disciples. He called his 12 disciples. Then look at verse 10 again. And the apostles. They were sent out as disciples. They returned as apostles. Interesting, isn't it? Along the way, something happened to them. They became different. Along the way, God worked in their hearts while they were working with other people's hearts. And I have just a sneaking suspicion that maybe a little of that has happened for you. And so the apostle is one who is sent out. And so we have our own missionary returned from the mission field today, having given to others a picture of the love of God. And so as you come back to us today, we want to hear all about it. We want to know what God has done in your life. And so, Richie, please. How blessed we are to welcome our missionary back home.
Happy Sabbath, Church. Or in Ponopan, Sabbath Mao. I'll try it later. Anyway, I don't know how anyone couldn't speak comfortably after an introduction like that. I'll transition smoothly, but let's pray one more time. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you as your servant. I pray that as I speak, you may speak through me, use me, and I pray you'll answer some big questions today. In your son's name we pray, amen. All right, two favors to ask from you today. As you listen, please pray silently that, Lord, speak through that man's mouth. Secondly, think. Please think. Oftentimes in American culture, we get so much information, and we really browse, don't we? Isn't that what we do on the internet? We browse. We look at different stories. We determine whether or not they're worth reading for some summaries. But I encourage you today to really grab onto what I'm saying and think about it and test it. I have two big questions I'm going to ask and answer today. What does love look like? What does love look like? And what does selfishness look like? Are they different and why? So, I'm going to ask the volunteer, Maddie, if you can come up, please. I'm going to give you guys an illustration, then we're going to see a biblical definition, and then we're also going to see what the inspired pen has to say about love. And lastly, I will share how God used me to love others this past year. So Maddie, if you can come up, please. We're going to come up here. Come on. She said she would do it. So here, Maddie, if you can stand right here and just look beautiful. So just stand, basically. And the rest is already taken care of. So I'm going to show what love looks like. And right now, I am exhibiting love for Maddie. My life is revolving around hers. Each moment of my life, I am concerned with Maddie's concerns. I'm concerned with what Maddie will drink, what she will eat. I'm concerned with how she feels. My life is not concerned about me as much as it is all about Madeline. Now, Maddie, she's stationary. She's thinking about her life is revolving around herself. Now, so she's thinking about Maddie, but I'm thinking about Maddie too. If my life is revolving around Maddie's needs, does she need to worry about herself? Not really, because I already got it covered. Now, let's imagine one day, Madeline sees how I'm living my life and she decides, you know what? I want to do this too. And so now, our lives revolve around each other, don't they? So now Maddie's life is concerned. You're just walking a circle like I am. So it's like playing Ring Around the Rosie or something, I'm not sure. But Madeline is concerned about me and my needs, and I'm concerned about Madeline's needs. Do I need to worry about myself? No, not really, because she's worried about me. And vice versa. One more person, if I can have my mother come up. Please. Come on up, Mom. You may laugh now, but you're next. Don't worry. Now, God is how many persons in one? God is three persons in one. And so now let's begin. Now, we're in no way perfect. This is just symbolism. Don't worry. We're definitely not God. But God is three persons in one, correct? So for all of existence, all of eternity, the three identities of God, three separate persons, have existed in perfect love for each other. Existed where the Spirit, Maddie, right now, she's worried about me and Mom. And Mom's worried about me and Maddie, and Maddie and I are worried about her. So really, we don't need to worry about ourselves. Because our needs are met from the, you guys can stay here for a second, from the concern of the other parties upon us. It's beautiful. Because it's family, true family, where you don't need to worry about anything because it's already covered. Now, all the youth, every youth member of Pathfinder, if you can come up, please. All the youth, please come up. Now again, God is... It's the only thing that really identifies who God is, and God has been love from creation. And the three beings of God existed in perfect love for each other. For all of existence, they saw the beauty of it. So out of love, God saw to create man so they could join the party, so to say. So they could live forever in an unbroken family unit where everyone loved each other and existed in each other's love. All right, so this is enough for me. Everyone, we can hold hands. Oh, come on up. So let's all hold hands. Here you go. Let's close this circle. And let's go around. So now, we see how many people are up here, right? This could be Adam and Eve and their children existing in perfect love. And more and more and more would grow, and the circle would be more and more beautiful. And as more people existed in perfect love for each other, you would really need to care less and less about yourself, wouldn't you? But let's imagine something. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Stop. So if you're moving around someone, you're living in love, right? And if you're stopping, you're not living in love. You're thinking about your... Who am I right now? That's right. I'm Satan. You guys can sit down. All of existence lived in perfect, harmonious love from the very beginning until someone decided, thank you, Mom, until someone decided to stop it. Satan stopped He was living in love, wasn't he? And you know what? He can start doing it again right now if he wanted to. Sadly, he won't until the end of time. And I know it hurts God. It hurts God's heart. But we see two conflicting ideas. We see God's love and we see selfishness. And just as in that circle, could the circle keep going if I stopped? No. In order for the love, the harmonious, unbroken love circle to continue again, sin's going to have to be cut off and destroyed. Believe it or not, I just explained all of existence. It is that simple. Let's go back to 1 John, and I want to see how our minds change in our perception of this passage, keeping in line two main principles. I'm going to describe God's agape love to you in two syllables. Ready? Give. Give. How do you describe God's love in two syllables?
Give.
It doesn't stop. It's all out. Not asking or expecting anything in. Now we're going to describe the world mentality. Direct opposite, polar opposite, doesn't work at all together. And that mentality is get. Living just wanting that nice new phone, concerned about what I can get next, not even caring about meeting the needs of other people. So you describe the world in get, and God's love is? That's right. And describing the circle again, in the three-part circle, I was thinking about Maddie and Mom, and they were each thinking about the other people in that circle. 1 John 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from? Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is? This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that he might live through him. This love is shared. Different versions have made it seem like we live in God's love and God lives in our love, so to say. There's a book called Crazy Love in which on the very cover, you see two things. I thank you, Pastor, I brought it because I wanted you to see it. An arrow going down, an arrow going up. Love doesn't take, it just gives. Oh, the amazing beauty of giving back praise to God as he blesses us, right? This is how love is supposed to be. Just getting or just giving and others giving to you. I want to read a quote that explains the simplicity of love. Pure love is simple in its operations. Was that circle up there really complicated? It was the most simple thing in the world. It's very simple. And it's separate from every other principle of action. The majority of systems on this planet are not based on get, on give, give. They're based on get. An engine, it's concerned about getting gasoline, isn't it? Your stomach, it's concerned about getting. Ooh, it is that time, isn't it? When combined with earthly motives and self-interest, which are the get, love ceases to be pure. God considers more with how much love we work than the amount we do. Whoa. Sorry, America. We're really concerned with how much work we do, aren't we? I know I was. I was the king of hard work. I want everyone to know how much work I did. And I think by the grace of God, he's really helped clean that off of me for at least a little while this year. It's not about what you do, but instead what is going on inside your heart, figuratively, right? It's about the love. Because if I could build this church all by myself with my own bare hands. But 1 Corinthians 13, if there's no love in it, doesn't mean anything. Okay, I'll get through this. The natural heart So love is a heavenly attribute. It's only from Him that we can get reconnect with that giving. It's only through Him. The natural heart, meaning what is now natural sin, cannot originate it. This heavenly planet only flourishes where Christ reigns supreme. Where love exists, there is power and truth in the life. Love does good, and don't miss this, nothing but good. Does anyone here want to do nothing but good? There is a way. There is a way. And it's through love. And man, that word is really tossed around because we love sauerkraut and we love cheese and we love Big Franks. And yet we're supposed to love one another in the same way? It's a different word. It's a different word. The natural heart can't originate. The natural heart can originate a love for hot dogs. But a real selfless love circle like that only comes from heaven. Love does good, but nothing but good. So those who have love hear fruit or bear fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. So that last sentence is telling us that if we live that agape love, what will happen is kingdoms. The kingdom will be won. Hearts will be won. Lives will be changed, and yours will too. Just as Pastor shared, yeah, my life has changed a lot. Am I perfect? I know I've been changed. I've been trying to, it was difficult for me to see what I gave that island because it gave me way much more. But I'd like to share at this time a few pictures and two main experiences. I wanted to share a long-term relationship I had with a beautiful little boy named Trevor. He's my best friend on that island. And again, I feel he's given me so much more than I could have given him. But he told me I gave him something, and so I share the story. And I also share a short-term story I had just before the first day of school. So this is Trevor. That's in a hammock my grandparents gave me that the kids loved. Because it can fit 400 pounds, so it can fit him and five of his friends. I've had Trevor over for a few weekends at my apartment. During the week, whenever he'd come by after school and be hungry, I would fix him whatever food I had. And by the grace of God, he'd always come back way too full. Food is love, isn't it? And had something where, it's another picture of me and Trevor wearing my sunglasses, which I left over there. Just hanging out, this in my staff uniform, just hanging out with us the day after school. He'd come by and do some work with us. We can pause the pictures there. Trevor is not a Punapan. He has been living on the island all his life. He is Morchlakis. And so he's from Morchlak, which is an outer island of Chuuk, which is also in the country of the Federated States of Micronesia. So they're kind of close to each other. But his culture is a little different. He speaks Punapan, but broken Punapan. And so when I'm teaching school, I have to make rules, such as no Punapan in my classroom, because speaking Punapan is that common, or in the hallways, right? When kids are talking to each other in the hallways, they're speaking Punapan. And so you can imagine the cultural divide between Trevor and all the other little boys and girls. He's different. Additionally, the SDA school there is one of the nicer schools. It's really one of the best, it's the best elementary school on the island, period. 95%, 98% actually, of the students at the SDA school in Ponpe are not Adventist. But Trevor, recently, in the last year, his family has become Adventist. This was Trevor's first year at SDA school. He didn't know anyone. And also, his educational standard in other schools was way lower, right? So Trevor came in behind. Trevor came in failing. Trevor came in doing bad in school, not being really behind in the English category. He had a really, really hard time. And so I became one of his many tutors. He would stay by after school at me and my roommate's apartment, and I'd help him through school, I'd help him get through it. And there was a point where basically it was the second semester, and Trevor was either going to fail and never go to SDA school again, or pass. Trevor can't pay for that school by himself. Neither can his family. All of his sponsorship is coming from the States. So he is a boy where culturally he had a hard time having friends. In school, he had a hard time having success. And so he needed someone. And by the grace of God, I was able to be one of those someones. He's been over a few times. I've been able to be his friend, befriend him a little bit. This is us canoeing one Sunday afternoon in the mangroves that surround the island. He's done that maybe once or twice. This is his second time ever doing that. He's lived on the island all of his life. And so basically we treat him like a king. He got to do stuff with us he normally wouldn't do. This is us on Sabbath playing a question and answer game, having some fun. It's one of the few times he said he's actually been able to have some Christian fun on Sabbath. And it's me over here in a hut outside where he's staying, chilling out, waiting for the rest of his family. That's the rest of us missionaries. There are 20 of us at the school. I'm trying to go back to the other picture, maybe. There were 20 of us at the school. It's a very large school. We're all from different areas. And so that was my long-term experience with Trevor. And at the end of the school year, he told me, "Mister, thank you for showing me for what love looks like. You're a good man," he said. I have a Valentine's letter from him he gave me. And said, "When I think of love, I think of you." Try not to cry. Is that from me? It's only from heaven. It's only from heaven. And the same love can be lived in you. And Trevor wants to be baptized soon. He wants to see me in heaven. Now we're going to move and show you a short experience. I'm playing basketball with a bunch of the Filipino gentlemen on the island. Monday night at the SCA gym. I come back. This is a day before the first day of school. So I was just about to get my dinner, just taking my shower, when I hear some noise, some ruckus on campus. The principal's niece is in the hospital. She needs blood. All the other teachers were ready in the trucks. They'd already gone. They're about to maybe take a second trip, and I had a choice. I'm hungry. I'm tired. What do you think I want to do? Eat and sleep? I could sure rationalize that, couldn't I? My ministry on the island is teaching, right? And I could say, "Oh, I need to rest for my ministry tomorrow," right? That would be perfectly culturally and socially acceptable, wouldn't it? You wouldn't judge me any different, would you? Probably not. But what about the girl? Came to my mind. What if you're the one? Oh, probably not. There's so many other teachers. There's probably enough blood. But what if there isn't? I did the back and forth a little bit between the doorway, outside, inside. I went out, I got in the van, I went, we got there. She was B positive blood type. I didn't know my blood type. She would have needed 3 pints or liters, whatever it is, of blood, 3 persons worth. At that moment, I prayed, "Lord God, let there be enough. Let there be 3 eligible donors, Lord Jesus." There was a gentleman with O positive or O negative blood, whatever the universal donor was, but at this small island facility, they didn't have the necessary whatever it is to convert that to be donated, right? And so they needed 3. We got the test back. There were 3 B positive blood types in the SM group. I was one of them. What if I'd stayed? Melanie Edward may not have made it if I had stayed home that day. What if you live God's love today? God is love. It's who He is. So what's love look like? It's give, give. It's selfless. It's giving of yourself to others. With no motivation of any return back. Do you think I would get that much from giving blood? I mean, they fed me like a king after. They always do on the island. But I sure got a big old dinner. Lots of food after from the family who were very grateful. But is that why I did it? I didn't even know that would happen. What if you live love today? What if Jesus lived your life starting now? What would it look like? How soon would he come back? I'm going to make a call today. A call for each of us. It's been said I left the mission field. But I'm not in heaven yet. The mission field can be Pohnpei, where I come from. Or by the way, they need teachers. They need teachers next year. They need a shop teacher. They can use a Bible 10 teacher. They need an English 12 teacher. They need many other teachers. The islands every single year need teachers again. I thank you for giving my kids a Bible 10 and English teacher this year. But my deepest call for each of us today is to be amazed by the love Jesus lived on the cross, by the love he lived in his life, by the love that has existed. God loves you. What if your life was a love note from the Savior? If your desire is for your life to show the love of God, if your desire is for your heart to be changed and transformed by his love, I invite you to stand as we pray. This is not going through the motions any longer. This is a heart transformation by God's love. And a change in action to give, give. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love, for your grace, for your spirit that can even use flawed people like me to show your love. Please be with each of us, guide us and shape us into your image, and help us live the love that changed our lives. Thank you, Jesus. In your son's name we pray. Amen.